looking at these verses, but there's a lot of wonderful things here. So let's read Colossians 2:20 through 3:4. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you are still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's pray. God, we do come to you this evening desiring, or perhaps not even desiring very much, to know more of your grace. So we pray, whether we really are desiring that or not desiring it all that much, we pray that we would come to know more of your grace. We'd be filled with a greater understanding that penetrates our hearts of what it means to belong to Jesus Christ and have Jesus as our Savior, to be joined to him and defined by him. We beg, Lord, that you would correct our wicked wandering ways, our means of self-salvation that turn away from Christ and do not hold fully to him, and comfort us with the awesome breadth and depth and full sufficiency of Jesus as Savior. We beg this in Christ's name. Amen. So I want to start this evening by asking the question, what is true spiritual growth? What is true spiritual growth? I think all of us here tonight, this massive multitude of people, we would all recognize very easily that spiritual growth, real spiritual growth, is not simply outward conformity to rules. Real spiritual growth, in fact, when you really think about it, it has something to do with outward conformity, but outward conformity can be very easily counterfeited. True spiritual growth will include outward conformity, but it is not a sufficient ingredient. It's not a sufficient condition to have true spiritual growth, to just have outward conformity. You have to have a heart change. Real love for God comes from love for God. Obedience to God's law is something that flows from the heart. We know this. We know that attitudes, motivations, the reason for doing things greatly affects whether or not something counts before God as a true act of obedience. So true spiritual growth does not focus in the first place upon outward conformity. That will take place if true spiritual growth happens. If inward conformity to the law of God occurs, outward conformity will follow. But the reverse is not the case. The reverse is never the case. And this is what fools us, and this is what we're going to think about this evening. The fact that true spiritual growth does not move from outward conformity and then penetrate into our hearts. But the right method of spiritual growth is not focusing on the law, is not focusing on the rules or even the standard. But the right method of spiritual growth is the one that is obsessed with our hope. That's what I want us to see once again in this passage tonight, that The right method of spiritual growth is the one obsessed with our hope, not with our behavior. Now, it's counterintuitive, and we're gonna see Paul telling us why it's counterintuitive or affirming that fact. The right method of spiritual growth is the one obsessed with our hope in Christ that looks outside of us to Jesus. It is not the one focused on our behavior. It's not the one focused on the law. Notice how he makes this clear, that it's not a method that is focused on the rules and our conformity to law of any sort, including, we're going to see, God's law. Verse 20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you are still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Notice here that he says very clearly that there's no place for the Christian to conform or try to follow regulations. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Man-made regulations, things that are according to the elemental or elementary principles of the world. Now, we know right here that Paul, on the one hand, is referring to made-up rules, rules that go outside the law of God. Don't dance, smoke, or chew, those kinds of things. That would be the southern way, or go with girls who do. That's the southern way of putting do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Don't drink, don't dance, all that sort of, these culturally made-up things. Added to the Word of God, we don't have to follow those because they are not God's laws directly. But let's remember, this is very important to remember, that these laws, the reason behind these rules is not explicitly anyway, is not to provide a substitute for God's laws. It's not to diminish God's laws. The reason rules like this are put in place is in order to help people achieve a higher moral standing, to become better at keeping the law. In other words, the Colossians here, Paul is not worried that the Colossians are explicitly saying, we don't need the law of God. We're gonna follow this new set of rules. What he's worried about is that in order to pursue conformity to the law of God, they're saying, oh, these people have come along and they've given us this set of rules that's going to help us to achieve conformity to the law of God. That's what as we read the letter, it looks like the false teachers that are tempting the Colossians away, that's what they're doing. It's man-made regulations. But it's not man-made regulations in the sense of, oh, you don't have to worry about the law of God. No, don't worry about that. Just eat the right foods. It's eat the right foods. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. This will lead you to be better able to follow the law of God. It's important for us to realize that. Explicitly anyway, these man-made regulations are not designed to turn away from the law of God, but enable people to obey better the law of God. But does it work? Is it helpful? No. That's his point. Does it have an appearance of wisdom? Yeah. Of course it has an appearance of wisdom. Is there a place for self-control? Absolutely. Asceticism, severe treatment of the body. Paul says in other places, I have to beat my body. I have to make sure that I'm in control of my body, not my body in control of me. Right? This has an appearance of wisdom, but it's of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Ultimately, seeking to obey the law by law, seeking to obey the law by means of the law, is what's out that does not work. It's ultimately of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And you see how he's not saying, don't put all of your stock in that. He's saying it's of no value. It's of no value in really stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Now, just to drive home that this is, Paul's telling us, warning us about not just trying to conform to God's law by simply man-made laws, but he's using that as an example to talk about not trying to conform to God's law by pursuing law, by using law in itself. Even if you're like, okay, we'll get rid of the do not taste, do not touch stuff that's outside of God's law, but we'll just focus on the do not touch your neighbor's wife. We'll just focus on what is clearly the law of God. That's going to be the path. That's going to be the means. No, what he would categorize that as, he would still say, that's under the elementary principles of the world still. That method of spiritual growth, by law, even if it's the right law, the elementary principles of the world. That's what he means by that. Now, it's often translated, and we talked about this because it's mentioned earlier in verse 8. It's elemental spirits is sometimes how it's translated. But I think it's the ABCs of the world is the best translation. And when it comes down to it, there's not a conflict there because these elemental spirits that people believed in were lawgivers. You obey these elemental spirits. They're the ones that sort of pass down these rules. Do not taste, do not touch. If you obey them, then you climb the ladder of righteousness and being. You ascend spiritually. And so either way you want to translate it, the message is obtaining growth by law. That's the ABCs of the world. We look around, we see that. In every single area of life, what do you have to do to get paid? You got to do some work. I know, like, we're trying to turn that upside down, and et cetera, but you can't ultimately ever turn that upside down. It's been tried before in the past, and nations, empires crumble. Okay? And we try to teach our kids properly. You got to learn self-control. You got to obey. There's consequences to your behavior. This is the way the world works. What's so surprising is it's not the way real spiritual growth works. Not since the fall. And notice, turn with me to Galatians, where we see Paul attaching this phrase to the law of God and saying we've been rescued from that. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Let's read Galatians 4, 1 through 6. It's a nice paragraph. The ESV has it in a paragraph, so it must be a paragraph. We'll just read it like that. And look for the phrase, elementary principles. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. It's the exact same phrase, translated here, elementary principles. We're enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. No different than slaves, enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. What rescued us from that? Christ being born as a man under the law, and he redeemed those who were under the law. You see what's parallel there? Being enslaved to elementary principles is parallel with being under the law. The reason we are set free from being enslaved to elementary principles is because Jesus, by submitting to the law, being born under it, redeemed us from it. Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. He's pointing here not to the issue of, is everyone at all times and for eternity under the moral standard of God, called on to obey it, and suddenly we don't have to obey it. No. The issue is, do we have to obey it to achieve? Do we have to obey it to be established right with God, or to maintain it, and maintain a right standing before God? There was a time when we were enslaved under the law because that's what's needed, but Christ rescues us from that. You got a question? Yeah, let's talk. Let's do a question and answer right after, though, just because then I'll forget my train of thought. So remember the question. So being rescued from being under the law is equivalent to being rescued from enslavement to the elementary principles of the world. Being enslaved to the need to do in order to become. Okay? Now, turn over to Galatians 5, and we'll see this idea again. Freedom in Galatians is freedom from the law, freedom to the elementary principles, freedom because of what Christ has done. He says in 5:1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision, he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace." The elementary principle of the world is obey in order to be justified. Or, as he's talking about it in Colossians, obey in order to be sanctified. Obey in order to gain something from God is elementary principles of the world. And it's the principle of being under the law. Do in order to get. And what he's saying is, that is of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. It does not work. We failed to do it in Adam. And now, being fallen and cursed because of our sin, I mean, we don't even come close. And even as redeemed Christians, being renewed, God does then not call us, yeah, you got a new nature. Yeah, I've blessed you with the Spirit. But you are not called to then go back to, or enabled to go back to, a works principle of growth. He's saying, do not do that. What's the alternative? The only means of true spiritual growth, the right method of spiritual growth, is the one obsessed with our hope. He says, ditch that and be obsessed with your hope. Be looking to Christ. Be basking in Jesus Christ. So notice how, and we're going to dig into this more next time, but notice how he sets that up with these rhetorical questions. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits or elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? If with Christ you died to these things, it's rhetorical because he's saying, hey, think about this. With Christ you've died to these things. Then in 3:1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above. He's saying, look, remember, you're no longer defined by your work. You're not defined by your work in terms of your justification. You're not defined by your work in terms of how you pursue sanctification. You're defined by Jesus Christ. And your problem, Colossians, is that you're not recognizing that. You're not looking to Christ. Be obsessed with your hope. Be obsessed with what God has done. There is no possible way you can ever exaggerate the greatness of that hope. There is no possible way you can ever go too far with the grace principle. And that's what we're tempted to do. We're tempted to say, yeah, okay, for our justification. But with sanctification, you got to have some law in there. That's got to be part of the formula that makes you more obedient. And Paul's saying, okay, wait, if you're raised with Christ, then what's missing about that? Where do you still need to get to? Colossians, you're trying to climb the spiritual ladder. You think these false teachers have these secrets that are going to enable you to do that, these special regulations to help you get... Wait a minute. You don't need any rules or regulations, and none will help. What helps is recognizing what Christ has already done. Who you now are because of Christ's work. You're already in heaven. You can't exaggerate grace, not this grace. You can't make too much of this. Why? Because it's impossible to get better than what we've been given. You've been raised with Christ. So notice the command here for growth. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Be pursuing where Christ is. Why? Because you're in him. Remember who you are in Jesus. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Is he saying that we're not to think about God's standard? No. Are there rules that are to govern our lives? Yes. I mean, that's part of what he means by seek the things that are above. Set your mind on heavenly things. As he goes on to say, he says, get violent against sin. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. But it's in the context of our hope that those things are considered. Do we get that? He's not saying, don't ever even think about the law of God. He's saying, no, that's not what changes you, though. That's not what conforms you to the law of God. What conforms you to the law of God is recognizing who you are in Jesus, what he has done for you, the fact that your acceptance with God is unmatched. I mean, you can't get higher than it. You can't achieve more than what Christ has already achieved for you. You've been raised up with Christ. You're seated with him at God's right hand. So your life is to be lived according to that, out of that. Does that mean proper behavior? Yeah. But you're not seeking, obedience to the law. You're seeking the glory that you have in Jesus, which includes obedience to the law as part of the gift that's given to you, as part of what's guaranteed to you. And you're living the fight against sin out of that, out of who you already are. So the right method of spiritual growth does not ignore the law, but it does not see the law as the means by which growth happens. The right method of spiritual growth is obsessed with our hope, and it recognizes that we're not trying to achieve anything that we haven't already been given in Jesus. We are not trying to achieve anything that we have not already been given. And the more we realize that, the more we actually do put to death these other things. Because they become what? Earthly. And I'm heavenly. Amazingly so. I can't believe I'm heavenly. But God has attached me to Jesus. I'm heavenly. I'm fully accepted. I'm at his right hand in Christ. Well, that belongs to the earth. It comes from that inner that inner heart change. I liked how I heard Douglas Clawson, who's an OP minister in our presbytery, and he's now involved in foreign missions. Some of you guys know him. I remember he put it one time, he said, we have to recognize sin as a lie against who we are in Jesus. When we're obsessed with the truth of the gospel, that's what sin becomes. And that's how our desire for it is killed. No. It's a lie against who I am in Christ. Look at all I have in Christ. So let's strive to not try to this balancing game, to not be tempted by the law as a means of growth. Let's realize the only method is obsession with the great hope that we have in Christ. Robert.